For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Let's open in prayer tonight. This is a healing meeting, so I pray that you've come expectant and seeking the Lord, wanting to believe his word. Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we commit this time to you in the name of Jesus. We know, Lord, that your word is health to our flesh. And we praise you, Lord, for that. And I ask that every person here be open to hear. Pour out your spirit upon all of us that we may know your truth in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise God. Well, we're looking at pray for others that they may be healed, and then I'm going to give an opportunity, as the Lord leads, for us to then respond to that word, respond and ask for prayer if you need prayer. Let me just assure you, many of the healing evangelists and those who have understood healing in the past, they've had people sometimes have come up multiple times, and it's at the very last part where they've had a connection. It's something that you need to connect with in your believing, because faith arises in people's hearts as they hear the word of God and they're believing it. Let's have a look first of all at Hosea 7, and I want to read the first two verses of Hosea 7. Hosea 7, and you might ask, well, what has this got to do with pray for others that they may be healed? You will see that sometimes when you pray for others, you've got to pray for revelation to come into their heart. Otherwise, you know, they may be healed or they may be met by the Lord, but then nothing goes further than that because their hearts have not been prepared. And so when we talk about pray for others that they may be healed, it's very clear that healing is available, been made available, but sometimes there has to be a preparation of the heart, and you'll see that very clearly here. And frankly, I believe that across the body of Christ, there needs to be great repentance happening. Let's have a look. Hosea 7, verses 1 and 2. When I would have healed Israel, so what's God's desire? To heal. When I would have healed Israel, then the iniquity of Ephraim was discovered, and the wickedness of Samaria, for they commit falsehood. And, so they commit falsehood. That's a sin. Commit falsehood, lies, deceiving, it's a sin. And what has happened here? And the thief cometh in, and the troop of robbers spoileth without. Well, can the thief come in now into people's lives? Yes, indeed, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. We know that's the enemy of God doing that when it comes to the people of God. But notice, it's God's desire for people to be healed, but iniquity can get in the way and can cause an opening for the enemy. Notice, he goes right to the heart of the problem in verse 2. And they consider not in their, where? Hearts, that I remember all their wickedness. Now their own doings have beset them about. They are before my face. There had to be a clearing house in the hearts of these people. They had to be honest with the Lord and with themselves and with others around them and say, well, Lord, I have been committing falsehood. We have been committing falsehood. We have been doing this. And I want to come to you in repentance. And whereas these people in verse 2, they consider not in their hearts, they're in a man, that I remember all their wickedness. So God sees, we cannot hide anything. And let's be let's be very clear that in the praying for others that they may be healed, sometimes, as the Lord leads, sometimes we need to pray that their hearts be prepared that they may be healed, that they come to repentance. Let's have a look at Galatians 6, 7 to 10. Galatians 6, verses 7 to 10. And we just saw that it's God's desire and will for people to be healed. God is desiring that. Now, the people of God must walk in holiness. And, you know, clearly, when we are sowing the right things in our lives, that's when God can do some really good things in our lives. Now, when we say pray for others that they may be healed, this is something that we should be looking at doing for other people. We should be praying for other people, not just concentrating on our own situation and our own problems and our own, things that have beset us or been a problem for us, but start to be outward looking in terms of looking to sow into other people's lives. So let's have a look at Galatians 6, verses 7 to 10, and I think you'll see that as we go through this. Galatians 6, starting with verse 7, it says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." This is called the law of sowing and reaping, okay? So would you like to reap health and harvest, a harvest of health and healing in your life? Well, here's a way that you can sow health and healing. Okay, verse 8, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption." Well, that's what we saw in Hosea, wasn't it? They were sowing to the flesh. Shouldn't be us. "But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." And that's a quality of life, all right? Life everlasting in the Lord starts when we were born again and goes forward into eternity. Glory to God. Verse 9, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Notice, God wants us to sow and he's showing us how to do it. Okay, as you have opportunity, and the Lord will give you opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith, especially unto those who are your brothers and sisters in Christ. Okay, it's very, very important for us to see that, because there is a sowing that we can do. How can we do good unto all men? We can pray for them, and we're talking about prayer specifically tonight, and I'll give you an example of someone who prayed and the Lord reversed the captivity that was in his life. Okay, the problems, the lack of health that he had in his life. We'll see a biblical example of that in a minute. So, praying for others means we start to get our mind on sowing into people's lives so that healing and health is a reaping that we can have in our lives as well. And praise the Lord, it's a good thing to pray for others. We'll see in the book of James in a minute that it talks about that. But let's have a look at Job chapter 2, verse 7. Because I want you to see something out of the book of Job and how Job's captivity was turned. Now, there were a couple of things that we need to explain about Job. Okay, so the book of Job is just before the book of Psalms. So Job chapter 2 and verse 7. Chapter 2 and verse 7. Now Job was a very wealthy man. You can read that in chapter 1. Okay, very, very wealthy man. And he had a good family. But there were a few things that happened, and he went into a situation where he was afflicted physically. And Job chapter 2 verse 7 says, "So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown." So you can see that where there is access for the devil, for Satan, he was able to smite. And here we see that Satan smote Job with sore boils and from the sole of his foot unto his crown. So he was covered with boils. Covered with boils. So that was not a good thing, obviously. There's an affliction that came upon him. And that affliction is something that we need to understand, that it's not God's will for people to be afflicted, and we'll see in a minute in Job's life about that. But one of the things concerning Job, and it's something that we need to be clear about, is that there were some problems in his life that had opened up some of that curse to come in. For example, if you ever look at Job 3 verse 1, it says, "After this opened Job his mouth and cursed his day." Well, that's not a good approach, is it? Cursed his day, because it wasn't just an attack on his health, it was an attack on all his prosperity as well. Cursed his day. And verse 2 says, "And Job spake and said," verse 3, "Let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said there is a man-child conceived." Well, that's not a good thing to be saying, is it? Okay. "Let that day be darkness. Let not God regard it from above, neither let the light shine upon it. Let darkness and shadow of death stain it. Let a cloud dwell upon it. Let the blackness of the day terrify it. As for that day, let darkness seize upon it. Let it not be joined unto the days of the year. Let it not come into the number of the months. Lo, let that night be solitary. Let no joyful voice come therein," etc., etc. Verse 11, go down to there. "Why died I not from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came up? Came out of the belly?" And when the Bible uses the word ghost, it means the inner man coming out of the outer man at the time of death. It doesn't mean a ghost wandering to a man just died wandering to and fro on the earth. So the Bible is correct in the use of ghost there. So you can see that there were all types of things coming out of his mouth, and that's not a good thing. That's not a good thing at all. And so we need to understand, and we can go more. There's other scriptures we could talk about where he talks about he had feared that this would come upon him. Okay. So we see there's something that was not quite right with Job, and of course he's visited by his so-called friends, one of which was speaking wisdom, but the others were speaking things that weren't right in God's eyes. But we want to know how it all turned out. How did it all turn around? You know, all these problems came in. But how did it all turn around? Well, let's have a look. Go to Job 42. Job 42. let's look at a couple of verses here. Without going to too much detail, we see in Job 42 verse 6. Job 42 verse 6. Notice what he says here. "Wherefore I abhor myself and," what? What's that word? "Repent in dust and ashes." So there was something to be repented of. Repent means to turn away from sin and to turn to God. Turn away from sin to turn and turn to God. And then go to verse 10. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. When he prayed for his friends, also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. So we see there was a few things. Satan had access. There was a smiting. All types of rubbish started to come out of Job's mouth. We see at the end he repented. Praise the Lord for that. And we see that the captivity of Job was turned when he prayed for his friends. I think that's significant, don't you? I think that's very significant. When he prayed for his friends, when he got away from... He repented, first of all, obviously, and then got away from meditating and thinking on his own problems here and started to think about other people and how they needed the Lord, and he prayed for his friends... That's when his captivity was turned. Glory to God. Praise the Lord Jesus. Now have a look at James 5. James 5. So this is why I'm saying praying for people is very important. And it's important for us as faith Christians to be sowing into this area and praying for people. We're going to see how we can do that. And... let's have a look in James 5. We'll look at verses 14 to 16, just after the book of Hebrews. James 5, 14 to 16. Now, there's some wonderful keys here. The Lord shows that there's several ways that we can get our healing. One is by praying directly to the Lord in faith. The other is by having hands laid upon you. And we see here the other is through others praying for you. But let's have a look at what it says here. Starting with verse 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Well, I'm completely open to that. If one in our midst called for the elders of the Lord, to come and pray, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, in the name of Jesus, we're open to that. Verse 15, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And notice the last bit, which is often neglected or forgotten. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. So the Lord is obviously expecting repentance to be part of this as well, or clearing of the heart. We saw in Hosea how if they didn't consider what was in their heart, it can be a problem, and it would be a problem because it's allowing the robber, the thief, to come in and to steal. To come in and to stop that healing from taking place. But here we see that the Lord, through the prayer of faith, shall save the sick. And there'll be a connection to that. It's not just the elders or the minister praying, but it's also that there is a connection as people believe. Oh yes, that prayer is like a contact that will enable me to receive my healing, the healing that has been provided by the Lord. If healing was not available, why would the Lord say, call for the elders? Why would the Lord say, the prayer of faith shall save the sick? It's obviously God's will for healing and health. We saw that back when we looked at in Hosea 7, where it says, I would have healed Israel. That's God's desire. God's desire is for the healing of his people as well. Verse 16, notice what it says here. Confess your faults one to another. I don't think that, and fault is not necessarily sin there. A fault could be, well, I've been out of ignorance or whatever, I've been doing this, but now I know, I see through the word, I should be doing this. You know, some people do things out of ignorance, you know, expose themselves to the wrong things. Confess your faults one to another, and here we see it again, pray one for another that you may be healed. That word may is important too. May be healed. That means they may not be healed. But it is important that we pray that they may be healed. Okay, so there's that possibility of people being healed. And this is very important for that connection. All right. So there's been people that I've prayed for in the past that have been healed, and some haven't been healed. That connection of faith is very important. Jesus said, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." Okay? And the preparation of people's hearts is often a very important thing. So praying for people is of absolute crucial importance. So let me read the whole of verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. That's a sowing, and there can be a reaping on our part too. A sowing. We're looking to pray one for another. It's not just saying the ministers of God pray one for another, but it's everyone can pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Well, it's not just the ministers of God that are righteous. It's all those who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's given them their righteousness. You are now servants of righteousness. You are now believers. So as a believer, you can now pray for others. And the effectual, fervent, that means from the heart, prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That means it'll get much done. From the heart. It's not just, oh, I'll flick out these words and may or may not happen. You know, we have to see there's got to be that connection, there's got to be that effectual, fervent prayer, and it's a prayer of faith that'll avail much of a righteous man. That's someone that knows that they are righteous and that their prayers will be heard from the Lord. Let's continue on, because there's other things I want to say here. Have a look at Mark 16, verses 15 to 20. Mark 16. So as I said, there's several ways that the Lord has provided healing to the body of Christ. Another way is through the gifts of healing, where people are healed miraculously, and it's got nothing to do with their faith. And one of the things with that is that afterward they should learn how to walk the way of faith so they can keep their healing and walk in that. Glory to God. Mark 16. Mark 16, and we're looking at verses 15 to 20. Mark 16, 15 to 20. Jesus is saying this, and he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Now, we believe in a full gospel that provides full salvation, okay? Full redemption. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law, which includes spiritual death, poverty, and sickness and disease and infirmity. Go and preach. And you can see, as we go through this, that the gospel has more than just forgiveness in it. Preach the gospel to every creature. That's to every creature that can believe. That's, I'm talking about those inner men and women that are in a fallen state that need to have that renewed spirit within them, born again spirit, They need to be changed so that they are new creatures in Christ. Okay. Preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. So there's a choice to be made. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Okay, them that believe. Are you one of them that believe? Yep, yep. Will this apply to you? This can be a sign that can follow you too. In my name, that's in the name of Jesus, shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. So these are things that we can do as well. They shall take up... Well, let's just go back and explain some of this. In my name shall they cast out devils. We're not talking about going to every devil-possessed person and casting out the devil out of them. There has to be access to be able to do that. But you can cast the devil out of your situation. You can cast the devil out of your body and out of your soul. You can cast the devil out of your life and out of those areas that you have influence in. Okay? They shall speak with new tongues. If you're filled with the Spirit, you can speak with tongues and pray in tongues. And I believe there's a sermon coming up about that. Verse 18, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Well, it's not talking about going and deliberately taking up serpents. You see in the book of Acts, for example, a serpent bit Paul, and he took it and threw it into the fire. Okay? So not talking about deliberately taking up serpents, but if a serpent did bite you, well, this is the way to approach it. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. So if something deadly comes into your body, claim this. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So that tells me that in the gospel there must be provision for healing. So the laying hands on the sick, praying for people, and they shall recover. So recover. So recovery is there. Recovery is there. We choose to believe, my God is the healer. My God is my strength. My God is my redeemer. My God is the one that I believe, and I believe his word, and take that up. Glory to God. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So pray for others that they may be healed. We as believers can do this as well. And I believe that the Lord in the future is, and from now really, is equipping the people of God through the word of God to understand their authority in Christ, understand who they are and what they can do as believers, as righteous men and women, what they can do as they take the word of God and believe it and go forward in it. Glory to God. We've already talked about it being the will of God for us to be healed. But let's have a look in Matthew 8, verses 1 to 3. Matthew 8, 1 to 3. Where Jesus made a very clear statement to the leper. Matthew 8, 1 to 3. And if it applied to this man, it applies to us. You know, God's not saying, well, it's my will for you to be healed, but not for you. It's his will for everyone to be healed. Otherwise, Jesus would not have redeemed us from the curse of the law. And the curse of the law has all types of sickness and infirmity in it. So looking at Matthew 8, starting from verse 1, it says, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. We'll see the leper was of the right heart, came to Jesus and worshipped him. God is the receiver of worship. This is Jesus, God manifest in the flesh, worshipped him. And he said this statement, Lord, if thou wilt, if it's your will, you can make me clean. And Jesus put his hand and touched him, which is unheard of, of touching a leper, okay? But touched him and made this statement, I will, be thou clean. It's the will of God for us to be cleansed, to be healed, to be walking in health. Whether it's been your experience in the past or not is not what we're dealing with here. We're dealing with what's the word say and how are we to approach it in the future. We're to approach it the word's way, aren't we? The Lord's way. And he will open up these wonderful things to us. Pray for one for another that you may be healed. There's a key. There's a key there. We're going to pray tonight, and as I lay hands on whoever wants to be prayed for, everyone else in the congregation is also going to be stretching out their hands and praying for that person to be healed. Okay? Glory to God. Look at Galatians 3, verses 13 and 14. Galatians 3, 13 and 14. We know this one, but let it be revelation in your heart. Let it be revelation in your heart that you have a Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has paid for your salvation by his blood. Galatians 3, verses 13 and 14. It says, Christ hath redeemed us. He's brought us back from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. We should be saying, well, what was that curse of the law? What was that curse of the law? Well, that's in Deuteronomy 28. Okay? And you can read through that and you can see, well, certainly sickness and disease is part of the curse of the law. Being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So he took that curse upon himself. And of course the curse entered in when sin entered into the world, we know that. But he took that curse upon himself. He became the perfect substitute for us. Glory to God. Notice what it says in the next verse, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So the blessing of Abraham, and the Bible says God blessed Abraham in all things. It says Abraham was blessed and he'd been blessed in all things. So it's applying to healing and health as well. And you can look at it in Hebrews 11. We won't turn to it. But God strengthened his wife so that she could conceive seed and so on. And when Abraham prayed, and we can go and look at when Abraham prayed for others to be healed, they were healed as well. So we see the example of Abraham as well, praying for others. Glory to God. You can look that up for yourself. What we see here is that God's blessing comes upon us because Jesus took the curse upon himself. So he took what we deserved upon himself and gave us what we didn't deserve. Glory to God through his wonderful redemption that he's paid for by his blood. There's much more I could say about that. But let's finish tonight on 1 John 5 verses 14 and 15, because I want you to see as we pray tonight, we're praying in line with God's will. God's will is for his people to be healed and walk in health. Okay. There's a lot around us, a lot of words and ideas around us which would seek to steal this away from people. And certainly the people of God should be very well aware of healing and health provided by the Lord, and the fact that he is the Lord that healeth us, and that we should seek him and go to him. Sadly, it's not well known, but it will be well known as the word increases and grows and people believe it. 1 John 5 verses 14 and 15. Notice what it says here. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Do you believe that?
Yes.
If you ask anything according to his will, we've just heard it's his will for healing, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. You know, you get prayed for, and you might not feel that you've been healed, but you should say, I believe that it's the will of God for me to be healed, and I believe that recovery has come to me as I've been prayed for. Glory to God. The Lord wants us to pray for others. And as I said before, as the Lord leads in this, sometimes people need prayer to get themselves right with the Lord so that they can come to him properly. Glory to God. Glory to God. It is the will of God, and he will hear us if we ask anything according to his will. You know, God is wanting us to ask, otherwise he wouldn't have put that there. He's wanting us to have confidence in him. The confidence that we have is that his word is true and perfect, and it is the very word of God that we have in our hands, not the word of man, but the word of God. Glory to God. So let's quiet ourselves before the Lord. Bow your head before the Lord, and I want you to seek the Lord now. Within yourself, I'm not thinking about others around you, but within yourself, if you know there is things that need to be dealt with, we talked about that, it's God's will for you to be healed. But right now, it doesn't take long. You could say, Lord, I know that I've done such and such. But Lord, say this out. Lord, say this out if this is you. Lord, I repent of that, and I'm not going to go forward in that. In Jesus' name. Father, forgive me. Wash me clean by the blood of Jesus. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I want to walk in your holiness and truth. I confess my sin before you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, I ask that every person here, be open to an understanding of your will for healing and health, and how to receive from you. In Jesus' name, we grow in the healing and health area. Glory to God. In Jesus' name, I pray for your healing power to be manifested tonight amongst your people, in the name of Jesus.